Welcome to the first weekend analysis for 2015. This weekend analysis post will run most Saturdays throughout the year, covering hot topic issues that have been happening over the last week or so. In the first weekend analysis for 2015, we look at where has Marilyn Brown been? That being, he seems to be conspicuously absent, metaphorically, in the Port of Auckland reclamation issue, which comes to a head next Thursday at 1:30 p.m. in an extraordinary session of the Auckland Development Committee. He has also been rather absent in the Pahutukawa 6 decision, which was passed yesterday by the Auckland Transport Board. The decision was to tell Chief Development Officer, but he was originally known as Chief Operating Officer, Greg Emmons, and his road engineers to go back and look at better, more sustainable options for redeveloping the Great North Road, St. Luke's Road interchange. But while that debate roared on, the mayor was conspicuously silent, yet he has intervened on such matters as the infamous option 4 for the east-west link, now connections, which would have ploughed through Mangere and Otahu before Auckland Transport and NZTA quietly shelved that after the mayor intervened in the huge public uproar. He also intervened wrongly in the Te Mahia station closure decision with Auckland Transport after probably being leaned on keeping the station with the second lowest patronage and a hindrance to Southern Line operations open, with the Manuera local board then having the audacity to say, yay, the station's open, now give us some money for it to be upgraded, when there is no money because the station was actually meant to be closed and should still be closed. So the mayor is vocal on some things and conspicuously absent on others. So the question is, where has the mayor being? Starting with the Pahutukawa decision, when Dr. Levy, the chair of the AT board, said today, although he did mention he did get annoyed with his email box getting flooded with 1,000 emails or so, but then again, Dr. Levy, that could have been prevented if Greg Emmons and his team pulled finger and didn't make the whole consultation phase prior a joke. But the board, after much protestation, coverage in the blogs, Twitter, Facebook, and even media outlets like the Herald stuff and Metro magazine on Thursday, the mayor throughout this, when he was asked to intervene after he has intervened before, was extremely quiet over the issue. Even now, some 4.5 hours, if not 5 hours, after the board made its decision to tell Greg Emmons and his engineers to go back and look at the options for that interchange, which would prevent the cutting down of the 80-year-old Pahutukawa trees, all we got from the mayor was absolute silence. And for a person who was so quick to intervene in previous issues like the port and the east-west link, option 4, and the Te Mahia station, why was he so quiet? Because as mayor, he's meant to be as mayor and the one who led the Auckland plan with the mantra of the world's most livable city, if the Pahutukawa trees were to be cut down, I don't think that quite fits in that mantra. So you would expect the mayor to intervene to uphold the mantra of the world's most livable city. Yet he hasn't, and he hasn't even issued a press release since the board decision, where he was very quick. Usually I got a press release within the space of half an hour to an hour on the ports announcing their collective agreement with the Maritime Union Thursday, And yesterday on the port issuing a notice that it is paying a $25 million interim dividend up 5 million. So something doesn't stack up there. The second conspicuous absence is around the Port of Auckland situation, which comes to a head next Thursday at that extraordinary session of the Auckland Development Committee meeting. The situation has come to this because we have councillors led by Councillor Chris Darby from the Lower North Shore not realizing where the line between his role of governance is and the role of management, which is done by the bureaucracy, and the bureaucracy also within the CCOs to which Port of Auckland operates in under the CCO of Auckland Council Investment Limited. Long story short in that debate, the Auckland Development Committee resolved to take into mediation for the Unitary Plan panel, which is part of the panel's process and happens before you go into the open hearings, was to make the port reclamation within its limits a discretionary activity in the Unitary Plan per the Resource Management Act, which is consistent with other ports around the country. Councillors like Derby have decided no, it should go be a non-complying activity for reclamation within the port limits, and that non-complying should be put there as a rule into the Unitary Plan, which effectively means yes, the port can reclaim, but it has so many hurdles to jump, it doesn't make it viable at all. Now, the mayor has been absent on this, insofar as he's not been there for votes, not there to lead the debates as mayor at the committees on the port situation, and hasn't laid out what the actual situation is with the port and the difference between the two activity classes for the port and what the consequences are. Yesterday, the Auckland Council had to forward its evidence to the Unitary Plan panel that it's going to be using for mediation with the other submitters, including the Port of Auckland and the Unitary Plan panel, chaired by Judge Kirkpatrick of the Environment Court, for which after the mediation is complete, it goes into open hearings in May. Now, the evidence says, and what the council is looking for as an organisation is that, and I put it up on the blog yesterday, is that the reclamation, not otherwise provided for that, and I'm reading off the blog here, for that is within areas A and B on plan precinct plan 4, and you can go and look that up in the Unitary Plan manual, will be a discretionary activity. The policies that will govern this is point 10, and these are the hurdles the port must clear to the independent planning commissioners once the Unitary Plan goes live in 2016 in order for reclamation to happen. And they are point 10, and it's in red, provide for further reclamation to be undertaken only if A, there is no practical practical alternative. B, it will provide significant regional benefit. C, it is the most appropriate form of development. D, potential adverse effects will be avoided, remedied, or mitigated. Heck, those are very strong controls. A and C can be interpreted very widely by the commissioners, and the port would have to exhaust all other options, at least in point A, before the commissioners would even look or even grant such a consent for such reclamation. Because practical alternatives could include better discharging of cargo onto the wharves, better operations which shorten the storage time on the wharves from 48 hours between discharge and onto the transporters, whether by road or rail, out of the port, or more efficient and faster discharge to transportation mode between ship and transporter, such as even doing it direct, as Bryce had actually rightfully suggested. So the port must clear, must work through and prove that none of the other alternatives are practical, are actually viable, and thus it must do reclamation. Point C just emphasizes it even more. Whereas if we were to flip it to, and just before I go into that, and point 10 and discretionary basically balances the environment concerns of the Waitemata Harbour, while at the same time balancing the economic situation of the port and in South Auckland, which relies directly on it. Example, the bulk general trade, of which cars make up 45% of it, contribute $380 million of economic out or input into South Auckland, $280 million of that in wages. So point 10 in what the council was proposing, thus making the reclamation a discretionary activity, balances both economic and environmental for reasons I've mentioned earlier. If for some forsaken reason on Thursday the development committee decides to go to non-applying, point 10 is technically struck out, and point 12, which I have struck out because it's struck out in the evidence, would become unstruck, and you basically have avoid further reclamation within the precinct until the result of a future study. A result of a study on future operation and development of the port clearly identifies whether and when further reclamation is required to enable future operation. In other words, that could be the port would have to go through a more expensive exercise in doing that. But it can say yes, it's needed, but because of the because of point 12, the politicians could see it otherwise and interfere and meddle with it, thus preventing the port to carry out its effective operations, which has economic harm further down the line, again to South Auckland and beyond. So these are the risks the Auckland Development Committee is taking on Thursday as it goes back again to decide whether the port activity reclamation should be discretionary or non-compliant. But this could have all been avoided if the Mayor, rather than giving a short speech and then ducking off for something for the, in Christchurch to do with the cricket, should have remained in Auckland and continuously lead and champion through the situation of the port, of the council evidence to go through, and why it should be discretionary. And point 10 would have been the crux. But no, he has been silent on it and rather goes on little short four-line presses about employment agreement settlements and dividends. Yet this issue of discretionary or non-complying in reclamation has far wider reach than any of what those presses are covering. So the Mayor has been left as absent on this, and now we've got a rather fragile situation which should have not been been there, that is Thursday, if the Mayor was there properly leading and leading the governance and reminding the councillors that they are there to govern, not manage. So that is the role of the bureaucracy. So in conclusion, the question is, where has Len Brown been? Where has our Mayor been? He has been absent in critical debates, and it has been showing. The leadership is lacking, and when the leadership lacks, the governing body goes absolutely AWOL, fractures and splinters. Thursday at this extraordinary meeting being the classic case that could have been avoided if proper leadership and governance was in place and set in stone by the Mayor. To which I say, because of this, this is unacceptable, and the Mayor needs to buck his ideas up real fast.